Escape the ordinary. Your guide to travel the world before your 30s.
Hello everyone, I'm Dora Meződ from the Első Pest Egyetemi Radio, first university radio of the city of Pest. You are listening to Escape the Ordinary. In the first two episodes with the contribution of Third Eye Association of Mediterranean, you could get a glimpse of how European solidarity projects or how hosting organizations works, and what is it like to be an ESC volunteer abroad. At this point of the series, you might already want to take part in a project, or maybe you even would like to organize one. So in this episode, we will purely focus on what is European Solidarity Corps. Those who want to participate, you will get to know more about ESC trainings, individual and group volunteering projects, but most importantly, how to apply. But also, if you are listening to us and you have an organization, with the help of Seyhan Akdogan, the founder of Third Eye Association, we will let you know how to become an accredited European Solidarity Corps Association. Here is with us Seyhan Akdogan. Hi, Seyhan.
Hi to everyone. How are you, Dora? You okay?
Yeah, I'm very fine. Thank you. So today we talk about European Solidarity Corps, and as a former volunteer, I can tell that to me, ESC means a possibility to go abroad, to be part of a multicultural team and contribute for a greater cause. But I also know that European Solidarity Corps is not only about volunteering, there is so much more into it. Can you describe for us what is European Solidarity Corps?
Yes, of course. Like European Solidarity Corps is one of the ways to prove yourself to yourself, because you learn about yourself in projects, during the projects. And there are some youth exchanges, there are trainings, and plus most of the people, it was known as Erasmus Plus projects. And it was mostly known as for university students, but actually it is not. Actually, it is for everyone. There is a youth title. So under youth title, the youngsters in all around Europe, also in the world, they can participate to any type of projects they want. Some of them are like, as I said, youth exchange are from 5 days to 14 days. And some of them are like trainings to become experts about some titles, some topics. So youngsters mostly prefer to participate this type of project.
Have you ever participated?
Yes, I have participated. Actually, it was like when it was Erasmus Plus, and lately last year I participated training course for ESC coordinators project. As we are as a hosting organization and sending organization, so we met some new sending organizations and hosting organizations, and we had some, it was a training course for the coordinators especially, and also the mentors.
Is this training different from our program with you? I mean, you know, when I was in Turkey with your program, we had accommodation and everything. Was this the same for you with this training ship?
Yeah, in this type of projects, the projects provides you the accommodation, the food, and also the according to distance calculator from country to country, the transportation amount changes. So they also afford this type of things. But it takes one. And it is like a training from like a part, like different than your project, like volunteering is at least 14 days and plus till to do 12 months projects with a facilitator, like we call them facilitator or trainer. And they also, they run the training course, and it is actually starting in the morning till to the evening. There is a lunch break and there are some coffee breaks. So you take the title and you just try to be creative about it, and you share your knowledge in that type of project.
So these trainings are usually just for a week?
Yes, at least 5 days. Up limit is like 21 days, but mostly people prefer like 10 days or 1 week.
But how did it work? Because for me, it never was clear. I know that in ESC, I can participate in only one long project, and it's very important because one long project can be for 5 months to 1 year. And if I give away my long project only for 5 months, then I can never go for 1 year. But can we go to multiple short programs, like 1 or 2 months, or multiple traineeships too?
As you said, for long-term projects, a candidate has only one possibility to participate. It is from 61 days, like more than, even if it is one day more than 2 months, it is a long-term project, up to 12 months. But after European Solidarity Corps started, they give another chance for short-term group volunteering projects only. So you can participate multiple, like many, only short-term group volunteering projects. For now, for last 1 year, they started to give these opportunities for youngsters.
What are these projects really? Because we talk about project, but those who listen and don't know anything about ESC can only hear that, yeah, you can be for 2 months or a year, but what are we doing?
First of all, these projects must be social projects. That's why it is mostly running by NGOs, like non-profit organizations. So non-profit organizations, as it is called, volunteering projects. And first of all, we need to describe voluntary, or the dictionary meaning of volunteering, because nowadays in this type of era, most of the things, like when you do something, you expect something to benefit from it. Instead of money, sometimes you ask for something else. But in this type of volunteering projects, project provides you the accommodation, the transportation, and some mini pocket monies, let's say. They give this type of opportunities for youngsters just to not to depend on someone else. And mostly the target group is like the people, the youngsters who has lack of opportunities in their local life, in their normal life. So in this case, the project aims a youngsters shouldn't spend any money from home to the project area and back with the sufficient ingredients, let's say, sufficient food, sufficient accommodation. That's all. But if you ask for luxury, it will depend on the person. So it changes from person to person.
I already applied for one short project with you, but if I apply for multiple ones, it means that later on I will have less chance to get in because I was already part in some projects before.
No, actually it is not. Mostly it is about the hosting organization, because the European Commission also would like to give these chances for the people who is going to try this one for the first time. So we cannot say disadvantage, but we can say like some obstacles, who has some obstacles in their life to participate in this type of project. So they are the priorities. But some organizations also would like to host some experienced ones. So it depends on the hosting organization at all.
What do you think is the difference between your organization and other organization? I mean that, as we can hear from the previous episodes, we know that the Serdai Association is about environmental protection. And can you compare it to other organizations in other countries, maybe, with the same cause?
Actually, it is a mistake to compare your organization with any other organizations, because all organizations are unique and they are all trying to do something useful for the world. So that's why there is an organization idea in the world. So NGOs, mostly we have to talk about what is the reason of occurring, like existing of that NGO. So every NGO has another privacy and another value and another type of meaning of their life. So that's why we cannot compare, but I can explain about our organization as we talked before. Our organization is mostly keen on dealing with the environmental problems, but at the same time giving opportunities for the youngsters who has less opportunities than others. What means less opportunities? We call it like economical obstacles, geographical obstacles, educational obstacles. So these type of obstacles can give them, like, we call this type of youngster like youngsters with fewer opportunities. So trying to raise their awareness at the same time and trying to raise their opportunities to participate, to exist in normal life. But we have to talk, it is a quotation, what is normal changes from person to person as well.
Can you suggest something? How can we choose organization? Because I remember when I was applying for your organization, I had a hard time to choose because there was so much possibility. And maybe I could get some advice what to do for be easier.
I think I was the reason to convince you to participate to our project.
maybe.
I can say this to future participants, let's say, or future youngsters who is going to apply for this type of projects, first of all, I recommend all the youngsters to choose a project which is totally in their interested area, like which topics they are interested in. So I always recommend, even to local youngsters who will be the future candidate for to participate to another project, I always tell, do not choose country and at city, because the country and the city will lose its attraction in 2 weeks, at most 3 weeks. Later on, a person will focus on what you are doing. So the matter is actually the activity itself. What is the activity? What is the topic of that NGO is related with? Are you going to enjoy or are you going to feel useful? That is the most important part. Otherwise, you will start to get away from the project in your spirit, in your inner world. In that case, you will start to focus on the negative things in your life, among the people or around you, what is happening around you. So that's why it is better to focus on the activities, what you are going to do. Are you interested in exactly, or I can be, doesn't matter. I can do anything in this project. No, this is a mistake of idea, because as I said, in 2 or 3 weeks, you will lose the attraction around you.
I can say I didn't lose my attraction.
Yeah, but it is also like you were enjoying your own project, what you were doing as well. That was the reason. I can give one example like this, like where one of our local person applied for a project in another country, and it was about organic farming, but the person didn't exactly read the activities. No, I have to give the actually the place, because it was in France and it was in Paris. So Paris is a dream city for youngsters to be in, right?
Yes, I think everyone wants to go to Paris at once.
The candidate was a girl, and she was a, like, how can I say? She was looking after herself. She was caring about her beauty and other stuff. But the project was organic farming, and she didn't read the inner part of activities. And she asked me, should I go this project or not? Because she really wanted to go. And she was also studying French languages at university. But when I read the project itself, I couldn't say her like, you shouldn't go there or you mustn't go there. But I just told her, if you have read the activities. And actually she answered me, no, actually she didn't write in deep in details. And as I read, it was like 30 kilometers away from the Paris. And she had to take the things, let's say, the things from cows and put them into the grape farming area. My point of view, she cannot do it. But she said, I can do it. Actually, I didn't tell her, don't go, but she changed her mind on her own. I just told her to focus on more deeper into the details of the project, because it was going to be 10 months.
Wow.
So even the French language, even the Eiffel Tower will lose the interest in like 1 month later. And then she decided to participate to another project, which she was really happy for it, because it was like social activities, dealing with the local kids or other stuff, and she was into it. And that country was also a French-speaking country, but she was really very happy with that project. So the project itself, the activities itself must be somehow be in the area of your ideas and thoughts.
Fortunately, our group didn't have a problem like that, but what can I do if I go to a project and not read something carefully maybe, but I made a mistake like that girl almost did? Can I go home, or what can we do if we don't like the project we take part in?
I can start with fortunately or unfortunately. You can take whatever you want. Like, fortunately, European Commission gives the youngsters to select and to quit the project and go back. But some hosting organizations can put some rules in the agreement and says that if you quit the project in the middle without having an official reason, hopefully not, but like death from the family or a big accident or this type of stuff, like these can be the official reasons. A person should cover the, should afford the things that paid for her or for him. But some organization says, okay, you can just go. But a person should also think like this. The project that you didn't like and you want to return back could be one of the most important reason for a person in the world, in any type, part of the world, that person can be very, very, very happy. And you took that chance from that person because you selected a project which was not suitable for you and you were not giving attention to choose. When you go there, you just change your mind in 1 month or 1.5 months, let's say, and you just decided to return back. Because that NGO should return back that amount of money back to the European Commission instead of using it for a person who really needs that project. Am I clear about this?
Yeah, totally clear. And I agree with you.
Yeah, this is a type of auto-control and feeling the responsibility for someone that you never know.
What do you suggest? Because we talked a lot about short and long programs, that it's mainly about time. The difference. Should we start with the short one like I did, or is it better if we start with the long one?
We always recommend this to our volunteers, also candidate volunteers, let's say. We tell them, try the short term first, as you did, to know better about yourself, as I said in the beginning. Because when you learn more about yourself, like you have no idea if you haven't been abroad with many different cultures, you never know about yourself how much tolerance you have and how much understandable you are. As always, people mostly think they are perfect. The other people are not perfect. So you will understand how perfect you are when you join a project, especially in group volunteering projects. In that case, you will understand yourself how much homesick you will feel, because if it is your first time going abroad, you may feel homesick as well. So when you know about yourself, about these attitudes, these ideas, these feelings, then in a short term, you can stand for it for 1 month or 2 months. But when you go for the first time for a 12-month project, and if you never know if you are going to feel homesick or if you are going to feel lonely, if you are going to feel you are not a useful person, then you never know what you are going to feel at that moment. So 10 months is a long time to decide to stay or go back. But when you go for a short-term project, you understand yourself better if I can manage the long time, okay?
Yes, about cultural differences, we can talk about how the group synchronized, because I think we can say in my project, our group wasn't the most synchronized project at all. But I can also say that I was before part of an Erasmus experience in Greece, and there we have an amazing group. So I know that there's a difference between how is your group built up, so it can really give to the experience. And what do you think, what can we do if we have cultural problems and differences like our group had?
Yeah, in this type of moments, first, of course, the participants are important and how much tolerance, as I said, they are. Then to be open to learn new cultures is important. But if you are, as I said again, like if you don't know about yourself how much tolerance you are, then you will have different type of reactions. In that case, first of all, sending organization is very important to prepare the volunteer for the cultural shock. Because in the trainings of national agencies, the coordinators are receiving this type of education, like this training. Or if a mentor, not a new mentor, doesn't matter, sending or hosting organization mentor, they are also receiving this type of education as well. So first of all, it is the responsibility of the sending organization to prepare you for the cultural shock, or to prepare you how you are going to feel as a homesick or not, to ask you some questions and to prepare you where you are going. And speaking about your rights and responsibilities, as we spoke in our first program, let's say, even if a person leaves this type of cultural shock in the hosting area, hosting country, in that case, they can ask for help or for support from the hosting organizations. First, there are local volunteers who can speak very the same languages, like common languages, then like a hierarchy, they can ask for support from the coordinator as well, project coordinator. So this type of things are already given to the sending and hosting organizations from the trainings in the national agencies trainings.
I remember when I applied to ESC, I applied basically without knowing anything because you saw my Facebook post. I only heard about it actually from my Erasmus, because during my Erasmus in Greece, I met some Italian guy who told me, yeah, I'm here with the European Solidarity Corps. You should follow them in every pages and everything. And that's what I did. I remember when I applied to you through Facebook, we started to speak in email and you asked me, who is my sending organization? And I didn't have a clue what you are talking about or why am I doing it?
Yeah, some youngsters don't have any idea about it. But if I can make it like more concrete for anyone who is listening to us, like projects consist of a triangle. And on the top, there is national agency, any national agencies who is coordinating national agency. And on the left corner, let's say, sending organization. And on the right corner, there is a hosting organization. And in the middle, there is a volunteer. So the volunteer should know about their sending organizations. If there is no sending organization, you cannot be a volunteer. So this is a must, actually. These organizations are accredited. They receive accreditation from the national agency.
Yeah, but I didn't understand that. Why do I need a sending organization when I will spend time at your organization and you will reimburse me for the travel money and everything? So I didn't understand, why do I need them?
You need them to have an official responsible in your home country. And as we spoke a few minutes ago, they need to be, actually, the process is, has to be like this. They need to prepare you where you are going, how you are going to feel. But your process was very fast. That's why
yeah, it was kind of a last
time.
Minute.
Yeah, so you didn't have enough time to receive some trainings. Like there has to be also like pre-departure training for the volunteers.
We had some with my organization, with Youth Bridges Budapest, and because the listeners don't know, but my application was like, I wrote a Facebook post to one of the European Solidarity Corps groups that, hey, I'm Dora, I want to be part of a short time as soon as possible, and Sehan sent a comment that come to us. And it was super last minute, because in a week I was already in Turkey and I didn't expect that. But even for me, there was some pre-departure training with Youth Bridges Budapest, but it was because of the short time amount, only in Zoom calling, like our podcast episode now. But I know that usually applying for this project takes longer time, not that last minute. So I guess there are more time for these trainings too.
Yes, actually, it needs a long process to make you aware about where you are going, what you are going to do, what are your rights and responsibilities, this type of things. Your process was very fast, last minute booking like.
So what are these rights you talk about a lot? And
like, it is also mostly the rights and responsibilities must be written in the contract that you are signing and your sending organization signing and the coordinating hosting organization signing. So it is telling about your, like, what you need to have, what you need to receive, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, this type of things. So it mostly depends on the hosting organizations and coordinating. So they give the rules, let's say, and you say you are going to obey or not. And when you read it, you decide. It depends on person to person, but especially about the rights, let's say, you are going to receive the accommodation for free. You are going to receive some pocket money for free. You are going to receive the transportation budget you will have according to the distance calculator. Again, it is the European Commission decision. It is not decided by the hosting or any other organizations. It is decided by the European Commission according to your country and the hosting country. So this type of things that you should know in advance. The rest is mostly important about the organization's activities and the rules, like what you should obey in the accommodation part, what you should do in the activities from which time to which time, how long you are going to work. So these type of things are the responsibilities part.
For me, there wasn't any problem. But what happened if someone has some problem, for example, maybe with the accommodation? Because at your organization, we were living more than one people in one room. But I know in some organization, everybody has their own separate room. So it really depends on project. And what happened if, for example, I really, really want to work for Serdak, but I am the kind of person that cannot tolerate living with more than one people. Do you say that I cannot go to your program?
Yes, we say you cannot. In group volunteering projects, you cannot arrange a room for each person. In that case, you need to rent a kind of very big hostel, let's say, and most of the organizations cannot afford this part. That is why in advance, we say you are going to stay with more than one person, maybe three people in one room or four people in one room. So if you accept this, you apply our project. If you don't accept, of course, I can say like this, like if you are going to buy something and if the seller has one product, you cannot ask for the second product if I don't have what I can do for you. I witnessed something like this, like volunteer. Mostly these are the not target group actually in the volunteering projects. Like as I said, like they have to have obstacles. They have to have some limits in their life, especially economical limits. Most of the youngsters cannot recommend this type of things. But one volunteer, not in our organization, when I was talking to another organization's coordinator, they said, like, I don't want to stay with many people and I am going to afford my own rental. But how many volunteers can do this? Or will you be able to find an accommodation close to the activity area? For example, in our activity area, you cannot find. As you know, we are in a like 16 kilometers away from the city center, and there are not many houses for rents. So it depends on the place that you are going, especially. And it depends on the hosting organization if they can say yes. But if they can say yes for this, if there are the possibilities. Possibilities are more important than this. How many candidate of volunteers can ask for this, like, I want to pay my own accommodation. And it is also against the rules of the projects because accommodation is already afforded by the project. But if you ask for a privacy, like I want to stay alone, even the organization is offering you, you have to stay at least two, three people in one room. It is weird to ask this, like, can I stay alone, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there any space in these contracts that, you know, you can agree on some stuff?
If it is an individual project, maybe you can, let's say, negotiate about, let's say, standards, because it will be your private project, okay, like one volunteer. So in that case, you can, or the hosting organization can change, may change something. But when it is a group project, think like this. There are 10 people applying for the project and the coordinating organization accepting 10 of them. And one of them is asking for priority. What will be the fair? What will be the judgment of this position if you give the priority for one person among 10 people?
Yes, of course.
Actually, this will bring some problems into the project itself. So none of the organization would prefer to bring a problem to the project from your own.
But I looked for a lot of projects before and even though after my project with you, because I want to do an ESC again. Oh, and yeah. I never saw projects only one person. These were always for more than one person, at least what I saw.
Let's say nowadays also with the increasing expenses of anything like food, like accommodation, anything like transportation, and most of the organizations cannot afford individual projects because when you rent a house for one person, you will receive the same amount of budget from the project. And it is not enough in some big cities, especially like in Europe or other stuff. Also, like when you think like this is a kind of projects for interaction to get out of from your comfort zone, from your hometown, why a person would prefer to stay alone. So this is another dilemma to ask a question, like why you would like to stay alone if you want to go abroad. So when you are going to make a social work for the benefit of the people or animals or anything around you, I would ask a person who would ask this type of questions, why you want to isolate yourself?
Maybe they are just really, you know, antisocial, but they'll get to the point that they want to take a risk. That's what I can think about.
In that case, we should encourage that type of people to fight with their obstacles. This is another type of obstacle, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's even a good thing that they already did the first step and apply.
Of course, I would appreciate for that first step. But in that case, the sending organization and hosting organization will try to find a way to encourage that person to change something in their life.
And how can you encourage them?
Yeah, actually, it is very difficult. But now some experiences, some knowledge, let's say, since the beginning from 2011, we started hosting volunteers. So our target is same. We just try to give them this courage. Like our NGO's target is to save the world, let's say, to protect, to give this idea. And our motto is still be aware and create awareness. If we find the common rights and common targets, then there is no way not to understand each other or not to adapt around you or environment, let's say. And because we are in a small place, that is one of the reasons to have short-term projects, because some people may not stay in this type of small place for a long time. If you're coming, for example, let's say you are coming from a capital city of your country and you are going to stay in a mini town in Turkey somewhere, like there is no hotel, there is no club, there is no bar going out, blah, blah. We also can understand participants that when you are in a small place, it can bring some demotivation. But in that case, we try to understand and try to find some solutions for our youngsters. If I mentioned this, like if there is a problem, like one of our other philosophy is this, if there is a problem around you and if you are not in the solution process, you are the problem itself, we say. So,
Yeah, I remember in one of your first speeches for us when I arrived, you told this.
We need to be part of the solution, not to create the problem.
Exactly.
These are the reason of the NGOs to exist. It has to be like that.
For you, like a hosting organization, who do you like more? The people who go to you and have some obstacles like this and, you know, go out of their comfort zone? Or do you like to work with people who really feel in comfort when they are going abroad working with you? And no, it's not about the survey. It's a very personal question.
I can accept both. But if they have obstacles, I would prefer a person who is aware about their obstacles and who is searching for the solution. And it includes our motto to be aware about themselves first. For example, in my opinion, if you are not aware about yourself, you cannot create awareness about anything in the life. So when they are searching for the solution, we can be only one stone in their solution process. Like we cannot say we can change everything, we can help everything. We can just show the way. Who is going to walk in that road is the person himself or herself. So that is we like. And we like to, let's say, help or show the way or to recommend something, to advise something. In that case, at the end, it has to be that person's selections to do something or not to do something. Otherwise, they will always investigate if it is right or not. Another problem is this in the world. Like I can say about this general, this session will be a psychological part, let's say. Like you cannot tell anyone to do something because also the people around them mostly try to stop them. But at the end, if that person becomes successful, the people who were trying to stop him or her always says, oh, I was one of the reasons for your success. But if you fail, like if you become failure, then everybody says, oh, I told you, you are going to fail. Everybody has some part in your life. But you should have your own ideas, especially. Learning by doing is one of the main idea of these projects as well. So European Commission, one of the most important ideas is learning by doing.
For who do you recommend this type of voluntary project? Who can learn by doing it?
Who can learn? Oh, this is, I think I cannot answer this question because a person should know or should decide if I can learn by doing or if I can learn in the classroom. Who wants to leave the comfort zone, they can, for example, if you are an introverted person and you want to fight with your this side, then you can choose this type of project.
But if you are the type who want to learn in the classroom, I guess you can go to these trainings we talked about before.
Yes, but for trainings, like you can participate for trainings, but mostly trainings are for the people who are already, for example, I can ask you this question. Have you had any knowledge or any training or any lessons about environment or sea turtles, for example?
Only in your project, never before.
Yeah, before our project. In that case, if it was a training, we would ask for the participants, like there will be a title, like who can join, who can apply. So we would ask basic knowledge about the turtles or environmental protection. In that case, you should have something to prove that you have a basic knowledge about this by license or by certificate, by something else to participate to a training course.
But what if I don't have certificate about it, but you know, nowadays we can learn almost everything on the internet too. So what if I have the basic knowledge for these trainings, but I don't have a certificate about it? Can I join?
You can also join. In that case, there are some online application forms or some application forms for you to fill in. Then the hosting organizations or the organizers will decide if you can join or not.
So there's hope.
Yes, there is.
Let's say that someone listens to this podcast and gets so inspired that he or she hops onto the internet and wants to apply for a project like this. How can we apply? Because I only know my special way, which was I followed really every Facebook group which has the title of European Solidarity Corps or ESC or ESV, and I searched on these sites different opportunities, and I actually, as I already said, wrote a post about myself that, hi, I'm Dora, what do I do, where do I live, how old I am, what kind of project am I looking for, and what time, or even where. But I know that it's not the ordinary way, because there is the official website too, so how can I apply for my next project, preferably for my next long project, the usual way?
Usual way is this. Now, the European Commission decided to create a European Youth Portal. First of all the future candidates must register that youth portal to receive European Youth Portal reference number. In this case, everybody should have that number to apply to a project. Otherwise, you cannot register. And in European Youth Portal, you can also give some orders or select some options that I want to receive this title of projects or this title of these projects when there is a call. And whoever make a call about the topics that you are interested in, you receive a notification. Or before receiving that notification, you can also search some opportunities. There is an opportunity title. What type of projects are ongoing projects? When you find the ongoing projects, then you read the activities, accommodation, and other stuff, which is written by the hosting organizations. Then there is an application button, or you can directly send a mail to that organization. If they have existing projects which is going to start near future, then you can be the candidate.
I don't know. For me, I think that it was a good thing that I wrote a post to one of the Facebook groups, because maybe I feel it wrong, but when I wrote it, I felt that, you know, under my post, there was a lot of comments from different organizations. And I know that the organization who wrote to me really wants me to be part of their project. And I was thinking that maybe if you wrote a post like this, the bigger the chance, you know, to be chosen, and the bigger the chance that you will be immediately getting to the project than if you take the long process.
Let me clarify something with your position, let's say. First of all, your position was like very near after the pandemic, and most of the coordinating organizations like us couldn't run the project before. There is a deadline to finish the projects, so we need to finish it before someday. In that case, we are speaking with our sending organizations. Mostly sending organizations receive the applications, CVs, and sending to us, as unlikely yours, like with other participants, it was like this. We receive CVs from the sending organizations. We select some of them with waiting lists, like the step ones. They fill the application forms. Then we select the final participants at the end. In your position, because we shouldn't mislead the future candidates, Facebook pages are also very useful, but as I said, because of pandemic and last minute cancels, last minute participants cancellation, or some funding organizations couldn't find any application in their hometown because of pandemic. So, for example, in your funding organization, they made a call in their page, but they didn't receive any application because of the pandemic as well. Or it was in the middle of the education duration, let's say the schools were open, the universities are newly open. They had online lessons, some of them just started the face-to-face lessons. So your application time was exactly that time, if you remember. And we had a free vacancy. In that case, I wrote a comment under your comment, and most of the other organizations, probably, I don't know about them, why did they do this? Probably they had a free place for last minute. So that's why most of them wrote under your comment. It doesn't mean you are really going to find a hosting organization if you write on Facebook. It doesn't mean you are not going. So it is like a phishing. So a person, a youngster who is really looking for this type of opportunities should try everything as you did. You can find some calls from sending organizations. You can post on this type of pages. Then somebody will ask you. Try all the possibilities, let's say. And I can tell to all the youngsters, like, try all the possibilities if you really want to go for a project.
So you said that we need the sending organizations so they can send you CVs. I mean, to the hosting organization. But for example, in my case, I didn't know, you know, about the need of sending organization. And I didn't know who is a sending organization in Hungary at all. I get to know them through you. So yeah. What can a youngster do if they want to participate, but they don't have any clue who can be their sending organization?
Also in that youth portal page, there is a part to find the organization in your area. If you couldn't find any project, for example, you can search for that accredited organizations in your home city, then you can directly go and visit them. If you don't have any clue about there has to be a sending organizations, as I offered you that you have to have a sending organizations,
yes.
I offered you our partner organization. If I didn't know any partner organization, for example, in your country, I would ask you to find a sending organization in your city and go and meet them or write them, call them. So they will definitely help you. That is why they receive that accreditation.
So we talk a lot about organizations now, and European Solidarity Corps has this organizational side. And how can an organization be an accredited ESC organization?
Of course, like I can explain briefly like this. If you as an organization decide to receive an accreditation, you need to search for the application time from your own national agencies. National agencies which belongs to European Commission and working, and they are the representative of European Commission in the home country. Then there is a kind of letter of interest. It was, now it changed. In our country, it is called ESC 50 projects. The projects has numbers. So ESC 50 means you want to receive accreditation. Now also accreditation name change. It became quality label. So you fill the application form for receiving the quality label. Then there are parts to fill. Do you want to be hosting organization, sending organization, and now it was, the name was coordinating organization, but it became now leading organization. So there are many questions. Why you want to be hosting organizations? What you will provide for a volunteer? What are your targets? What is your aim? Blah, blah, many questions. So you answer this type of questions. And if you also click the leading organization, then you need to answer that questions. If the national agency has some evaluators, which are free, so they evaluate your answers, and if they decide, and if you receive enough marks, let's say, enough point from the evaluators, you can be the organization to host and send volunteers or to lead the project. So the national agencies decide and give you these rights.
In your case, was your organization founded before and later you get the idea that we can be an ESC organization too? Or did you found your organization and immediately had the idea that, yeah, I will found Third Eye Association and it will be under European Solidarity Corps from the beginning.
And our case was, we were already existing. Then 1 year later, we decided to apply. We found these opportunities to reach more people and to be more meaningful organization and to take attention on sea turtles protection and environment. So our case is like this, but there are some organizations probably after they are aware of these possibilities. And if you are a good project organizer, in that case, you can just found an organization, but mostly this is not recommended. Do not do this because in that case, you can exist very short time. I can say you this. If you found an NGO only to do this type of projects, this is my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you will survive. Maybe you will keep on, but your existence will last short.
But you said your existence before was only 1 year too. That's not too long either.
Yeah, but the NGO itself existence was 1 year. I am just talking about organization, but personally, me and some of my friends were already running other type of projects under Erasmus. And also we were participating or running environmental projects, not international ones, local ones. So we were really into activities what we were doing.
I think that's the main thing for everyone to be into activities they are doing.
I mean, like we were, how can I say, you need to know what you are really doing. Otherwise, like to be hosting organization is really much difficult than being sending organization, because sending organization has less responsibilities than hosting organization. As you, in your case, you met with your sending organizations once on Zoom before the project, maybe some WhatsApp calling or texting or one or two mails during the project. That's all. But in our hosting projects, like we were responsible for your accommodation, for your transportation, for your activities, for your security, for your health and everything.
If I understand you well, the hosting organization gets a bit more out of this whole project than the sending one, because, you know, you got the volunteers who will help for this greater cause for you. So why is it worth it to be the sending one?
Why is it worth it? To give more opportunities for the youngsters in your city. This is the main aim. And in this case, also, you can find local volunteers to be with you in your organization. And you can spread the idea of being NGO and doing some social activity. To be sending organization is an attraction for the youngsters as well.
Usually, how long does it take for these organizations to become an ESC organization?
Depends on your national agency, from 3 months to 1 year.
Really? 1 year?
Depends on the timing of application and results and other stuff.
Do you think different countries and nationalities have different possibilities organization-wise? Because I know participation-wise that some participants who are from countries not in the European Union have difficulties to go to project because of the visa requirements and everything. Is it the same for the organizations too?
It is about the bureaucracy of the countries. It is not about being sending or hosting organization. Because if you are a citizen of a country which needs to receive visa to go to, for example, Europe, like Schengen visa, then you need to follow your own country's rules.
Yeah. But what I ask that we have this difficulty for some, you know, nationalities. But do the organization have these difficulties too, or it's only for the participants because of the visa?
Organization has the same bureaucracy. There is no separation for organization.
What do you think? What can you as an organization earn from an ESC experience, and what can the participants earn from this same experience?
So about our organization, we benefit, like we earn experiences. Local people earn a lot of things. Especially we break the prejudices, we fight with the xenophobia in the local community, and this type of projects brings like tolerance, understanding, respect in our community, especially in Kazanlı, which is a small town. In the beginning, our volunteers' existence was a problem. Like after a while, being sustainable and receiving respect, showing respect, now our volunteers, our projects, absence is a problem. When we don't have any volunteers, the local people start to ask, where are they? Where are your volunteers? Still, we are fighting with some names, like they are still calling for any foreigners like a tourist. sometimes they are asking us, where are your tourists? But we try to also teach them tourists never clean the beaches or help the local environment or fight against the environmental problems, climate change, or trying to help the sea turtles. So they are volunteers. So now it is starting from the mind, what is volunteer and what is tourist. From the participants' part, I can only say they open their wide-looking perspective to the life, especially. And as in the beginning, as I said, they first learn about themselves before learning about others. Because in life, there are always others, but you are always you. So you need to improve yourself. This is one of the big steps to change and improve yourself. Changing, you know, the word changing can be in both sides, in negative and in positive ways. And also one of this aim of this project is changing you in positive way. And leaving your comfort zone bring you big pluses and facing with your hobbies. And it is a big chance and big opportunity for any youngsters. If I were in that age duration, because I didn't meet these volunteering projects when I was in that age, because a volunteer has to be between 18, 30, I will definitely participate one of these projects, which is really, I am into it.
I hope others will listen to this podcast and will participate too.
Hope so. We used to receive a big amount of application from Hungary, especially before, but somehow, I don't know why, what changed, what happened. We started to receive less candidates, and actually we are happy to host volunteers from Hungary. Hopefully with this podcast, with your help, it will reach to more people and they will understand what is old name EVS, European Voluntary Service, new name European Solidarity Corps Projects, and they will get the benefit of this personally.
I really hope it too.
Hope so. Thank you very much. Pleasure for us. You are always welcome to Third Eye. Anyone who is listening to us.
Thanks for joining us. I hope you will find yourself a project. But if before applying, you want to know in details what kind of help you can get before, during, and after these projects from your sending organization, listen to my next episode. You listen to Escape the Ordinary. I was Dora Mezu. See you next time. Created by Lila Dora Mezu. Brought to you by Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, First University Radio of the City of Pest, 2022.